Allah mubarak
Sudarshan.
Very difficult to see.
Idam.
Vishtavanasi. As he has seen.
Devaha.
The demigods. Api.
Also.
Asya.
Rupasya.
Nityam. Eternally.
Darshanakamshinaha.
Aspiring to see. Translation. Prabhupada by Divine Grace. P.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says,
the Supreme Personality.
My dear Arjuna, this form of mind you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear. Please respond. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
My dear Arjuna,
this form of mind you are now seeing is
very difficult to behold.
Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form,
which is so dear.
Purpose. In the 48th verse of this chapter, Lord Krishna concluded revealing his universal form and informed Arjuna that this form is not possible to be seen by so many pious activities, sacrifices, etc. Now here the word Sudarshan is used, indicating that Krishna's two-headed form is still more confidential. One may be able to see the universal form of Krishna by adding a little tinge of devotional service to various activities like penances, Vedic studies and philosophical speculation. It may be possible, but without a tinge of bhakti one cannot see. That has already been explained. Still, beyond that universal form, the form of Krishna with two hands is still more difficult to see, even for demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva. They desire to see him, and we have evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when he was supposed to be in the womb of his mother Devaki, all the demigods from heaven came to see the marvel of Krishna, and they offered nice prayers to the Lord, although he was not at that time visible to them. They waited to see him. A foolish person may deride him, thinking him an ordinary person, and may offer respect not to him but to the impersonal something within him. But these are all nonsensical postures. Krishna in his two-armed form is actually desired to be seen by demigods like Brahma and Shiva. In Bhagavad Gita 9.1 it is also confirmed, Avajananti mamudra manusim khanum ashritaha. He is not visible to the foolish persons who deride him. Krishna's body, as confirmed by Brahma Samhita and confirmed by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, is completely spiritual, full of bliss and eternality. His body is never like a material body. But for some who make a study of Krishna by reading Bhagavad Gita or similar Vedic scriptures, Krishna is a problem. For one using a material process, Krishna is considered to be a great historical personality and very learned philosopher. But he is an ordinary man, and even though he was so powerful, he had to accept the material body. Ultimately, they think that the absolute truth is impersonal. Therefore, they think that from his impersonal feature, he assumed a personal feature attached to the material nature. This is a materialistic calculation of the Supreme Law. Another calculation is speculative. Those who are in search of knowledge also speculate on Krishna and consider him to be less important than the universal form of the Supreme. Thus, some think that the universal form of Krishna, which was manifested to Arjuna, is more important than his personal form. According to them, the personal form of the Supreme is something imaginary. They believe that in the ultimate issue, the absolute truth is not a person, but the transcendental process described in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, to hear about Krishna from authorities. That is the actual Vedic process, and those who are actually in the Vedic line hear about Krishna from authority, and by repeated hearing about him, Krishna becomes dear. As we have several times discussed, Krishna is covered by yoga maya potency. He is not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Only by one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. This is confirmed in Vedic literature. For one who is a surrendered soul, the absolute truth can actually be understood. The transcendentalist is a continuous Krishna consciousness, and by devotional service to Krishna can have his eyes, spiritual eyes open and can see Krishna by revelation. Such a revelation is not possible even for the demigods. Therefore it is very difficult even for the demigods to understand Krishna. And the advanced demigods are always in hope of seeing Krishna in his two-handed form. The conclusion is that although to see the universal form of Krishna is very, very difficult and not possible for anyone and everyone, it is still more difficult to understand his personal form as Shyama Sundar. Very long book. Because if we add a little bit of devotional service to these processes, then maybe we can see that itself. That is only the universal form. Okay? So, but his two-headed form, Shyamasundaram, you know, holding the flute, three-headed form, is very, 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 very difficult to see. Krishna has told Arjuna here now in 52, he is saying, this is very difficult. Even the demigods cannot see. Demigods, okay, you say, okay, maybe it's easy to see with divine eyes. So who has divine eyes? Divine is divinity, we must have the quality of a demigod. So demigod can see, okay, maybe they have the divinity, they have a lot of eyes actually. But even demigods, if you are you want to see Krishna, you must be a Vaishnava. So means Vaishnava means devotee of Krishna. Only then you can approach Krishna. To be able to see him in his two-handed form. Otherwise it's not possible. That's why all the demigods, you know. When Krishna took birth, so-called took birth, actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not like ordinary people that, you know, you get impregnated in the womb and then, you know, wait for 9 months, 10 months and the baby is born. No, Krishna is different. When Krishna wanted to appear, he first of all came into the mind of Vasudeva. Then, from there, he transfers himself to the heart of Devi. It's not like the normal people, you know. This Krishna is different. So, this is how he appeared. And he was present in the heart of Devi, Mother Devi, you know. So, when everybody knew that Krishna had come, so they were very excited because they want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All this while they have heard of Krishna, but not actually seen Krishna. So the demigods all came down. They came down in the prison house. And Miss Devaki and Vasudeva were arrested, right, by Kamsa and placed in the jail. Because Kamsa was very afraid of the birth of Krishna. He knew his death was going to come from the hands of Krishna. So he was very, very afraid. So he put him into the jail, and every child that was born, he killed him. He was waiting for Krishna's birth. Now Krishna has appeared. And the demigods all came down. So if you read the 10th canto, or you can also read the Krishna book. If you all want to learn about Krishna, you won't get the Krishna book. So what is condensed will be 10th canto into readable form for us so that we can appreciate. Because most of us, when we hear about Krishna Leela, we straight away want to go into the Rasa Leela, you know, say what is this dance, you know, what is it, you know. I want to know the most secret of all secrets. Okay? This is our problem. So, but Prabhupada was so kind. He has written all the activities in the 10th canto in a novel way, in the novel form. So you can read it very nicely. And he has impregnated it with all the conclusions of the acharyas. So that way we can understand Bhagavatam in the Parampara. Even if you are forced to move away to our other mind, you know, telling us what to do, the way Prabhupada is written in the 10th canto, we cannot run away. We will have to come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of God. We cannot run away from that. So you must read from that. Then from that, if you read that, there you will see that the demigods offer very, very nice prayers to Krishna. He has not appeared yet, but they are offering. Because they all want, they are eager. Because in this material world, you cannot see Krishna. Krishna is in Vrindavan. Right? He is in the spiritual world. Most of them have read about Krishna in the scriptures. Everybody is reading, you know, they all read, or they know about Krishna only. But at that time, Krishna is not in the book form. 5,000 years ago, it wasn't in the oral way of transmitting all the Vedic literatures. That is how it was. And everybody heard about Krishna. They wanted to see Krishna. So even the demigods got the names of Krishna. But the demigods know, they already went to the ocean of hell to pray for Krishna to appear. So they knew. And when Krishna's arrival was imminent, all the demigods went. Because this form of Krishna is, and it's very difficult for us to conceive. We cannot imagine. We have only to take the words of the scriptures, how Krishna looks like. And based on the scriptures, we have the daily form. Right? So this is how we can understand who is Krishna, how he looks like. Even when we see Krishna, we do not evoke any devotional symptoms. Because we are very much in this material world. We are caught up in this material world. We are suffering here. So because of this, materialists, there are two processes Prabhupada written in the purport. One process is the materialistic way of looking at Krishna. They say that Krishna is a great person. You know, there are so many people in India who have written books about Krishna. One, there is some famous person also. And he said Krishna is a person. This is the president also. So, he has written there that Krishna is a person, normal person, but he's very learned, he's very learned. And very, very high, he's got some power, that's all. But he's a very diplomatic person, he's able to manipulate people by talking and all that. And he's saying that, he's saying that Krishna is a normal, historical personality. He accepts Krishna was there 5,000 years ago, but he doesn't accept him as Krishna. He's a materialistic people. He's powerful, but he says, but still he's a material body. He was born of Devaki and Vasudeva. That is what the materialistic people say. And the speculative people, they say, oh, they read the scripture, they read it very nicely. Oh, that's my conclusion is, Krishna is coming from the universal form. That is their conclusion. Because they say, oh, I've searched all the knowledge, God has no form. But you know, these are foolish people. Said Prabhupada says, and Krishna himself says, Vajanati Maam Buddha. 9:11. Vajanati Maam Buddha. Manusyam Tanu Asita. They are fools. Foolish people. Prabhupada, Krishna says, foolish people deride me. Deride means to put me down. You are nothing. When I appear in the human form. So, fully people are thinking, oh, this is not, if you come in a human form, then you are a human being. Huh? They cannot understand. Krishna is a spiritual being, they cannot understand this. Because they are foolish. They cannot accept that. They only accept their own body. They look at their own body and they say, oh, I have a body. Therefore, everything is like this only. No, there cannot be something more. If there is something more, because why? They feel that in this body I am suffering. I have got so many suffering. I am suffering from bodily diseases, bodily pain. I am suffering from my problems from my husband, my wife, my children, my neighbors. Like this, we are thinking like that. Sometimes you say, oh, I live in this world, there are so many problems from animals and too much rain, too much sun, too hot, you know, I can't take it. So, this body in this material world, it is no good. If Krishna comes in this form, then he is also subjected to all these miseries. So, therefore, God cannot have a body. God must be above all these things. Must have no body. They are foolish because they do not understand that the body of Krishna is transcendental, is eternal. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Nigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Ishvara Parama Krishna. of all the Ishvara, Parama, the topmost Ishvara is Krishna. Sachit Ananda Vigraha, the body, the Vigraha, is full of transcendental bliss and it is eternal and is knowledgeable. A lot of full of knowledge. This is Krishna. Krishna himself, and this Brahma sings this song. Yeah? Anadi Adi Govinda. What is the meaning? Anadi is the oldest, original Govinda. Sarva Karana Karana. Is the cause of all causes. Is the cause of material manifestation. Is the cause of the spiritual manifestation also. That is Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eti Chamsa Kala Pumcha. Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. Sukadeva Goswami says, he has already mentioned all the avatars that have come. But he says of all the avatars, Krishna is the avatarini. From him all the avatars come. Not that he is one of the avatars. People have this understanding or rather misunderstanding that Krishna is one of the 10 avatars. They say the 10 principal avatars. You know? Like that. But it is not true. In this Dwapara Yuga, in this age of Lord Brahma, Brahma is now just finished 50 years. It's now 50, it's the first day of 51st year of Brahma. Today, why you say it's around noon time now for Lord Brahma. At this time, Lord Krishna comes as himself, the original. Sakshat Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes. And we are fortunate. That's why we are fortunate. We are doubly fortunate. Because Krishna came again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How much fortune can you get? This fortune you cannot get anymore. This is not possible. You have to wait a very long time before this happens again. And by that time, where will you be? You must understand this, very important. Maharaj also was saying, Hashem Maharaj was saying that we must make this the last time in this material world. We cannot waste time. We are always wasting time. Monday to Friday we are wasting time. Saturday only we come for 1-2 hours. Sunday maybe we come, maybe we don't come. I got something on, you know. But we have to be 24 hours thinking of Krishna. How is it possible? I mean, we are not that great, you know. Not like Haridas Thakur, you know, they were chanting non-stop. Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all they were non-stop, they were chanting, chanting, chanting. And yet, they wrote so many books, they built so many temples, they established all the different places for pilgrimage in Vrindavan. They didn't sleep much. But we are not coming to that level, we are not asking you to do that. What we are trying to say is, try to engage ourselves 24 hours by way of engaging ourselves in devotional service. That means, you can be a brahmachari, you can be a married person, you can be a sannyasi. But Krishna must be the center of our lives. Krishna is the center. That means whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, we must always have Krishna in the center. We cannot do things or say things without thinking of the consequences. We must always say, if I'm going to say something, will Krishna be pleased? If I'm going to do something, is Krishna going to be pleased? Right? If I'm going to think something, is Krishna going to be pleased? That's why we must use our mind, body, and our senses for Krishna. Very, very careful. Right? We have to do that. And we have to think properly. say properly and do properly in Krishna consciousness. Every time, morning you wake up, you have to chant. Always think. That's why Prabhupada had a very nice program, you know. Morning you get up, mangalarati, listen to Bhagavatam class, daily greeting, go to work, come back, evening, sandhya arati, you know, you get different arati, Bhagavad Gita reading, kirtan, then prasadam. If your life is completely engaged in Krishna, thinking, reading, you have no other time for other things. There's no time. There's really no time. Last time when we had a center, I'm sure those who are from different temples and different places, you can remember, you can know that there's somebody there, temple president, telling you, do this, do this, do this. You have no time. You wake up 3:30, you go for a program, you finish, you go to work, you come back, you finish all the program. By the time you want to take rest, it's 10 or 11, then next morning you still have to get up. You got no time. You got no time to think of anything else. That is the way we should be engaged. That's why we can become Krishna conscious that way. Otherwise it's very difficult. We can do a lot of things, but we are not going to become Krishna conscious if you are not going to follow. That's why our mind, even if you are doing work, our mind, at the back of our mind, we must always think of Krishna. Always remember Krishna there. Always. We cannot think, oh, I'm concentrating on my work. No. Who gives you the concentration? Power. Krishna. So everything that we do, whatever we do in our work, even our computer work, or analysis, or manufacturing, or whatever it is, how these things work. Even if you look at the machines that are working, you can see, wow, what intelligence has been given that this machine can work like this. It must be Krishna. So we can think, we must have to think like that. And if you're cooking, you can say, okay, I'm cooking this for Krishna. Oh, I hope the boga comes out nicely for Krishna, because Krishna is going to taste this. So, am I going to cook anyhow, or am I going to cook so that Krishna loves it? If I'm going to raise the child, how am I going to raise the child? Krishna conscious. So you must think like that. So how is the child going to be? Is he going to be a boon to society or a bane to society? How is he going to be? We have to think. That's why we raise the child. We can't just say, I'm going to work, you know. I don't care how the child, you know, is with me, I don't care. We cannot be there to be responsible. Do we get married? For what? We have to be responsible. We can't just go and marry because I like this person. No. Oh, I'm so attracted to this person. No. As a Krishna conscious person, you must get married for a reason, to raise Krishna conscious children. That is very important. Otherwise, don't get married. I mean a brahmachari or brahmachari or whatever. Otherwise, there's no point. You must get good Krishna conscious children. And that itself is a seva to Krishna also. Because we raise them to Krishna conscious way. It's very important. Otherwise you don't get married. Forget it. Krishna is not for marriage is not for sex. Sex animals can do. If you really want sex, you just raise to then next life you can become an animal that has sex all the time. Like the pigeons or the monkeys, you know. Pigeons do it all the time, you know. If you look at the National Geographic program, you can see all the animals and they will tell you about the animals also. We are not interested in becoming an animal, right? What is the point? It's a rare opportunity that you got a human body. Animals, you don't see animals taking up Bhagavad Gita to read. You don't see animals reading or chanting or anything, no. You don't see that. Animals have their own position. They, because we have gone through all these 8,400,000 species of life. Somehow or other, by connection with the devotee, we got the opportunity to become to come to know Krishna. We may not be full-time devotees or concentrating fully on Krishna, but we have the opportunity to know Krishna. We mustn't lose this opportunity. to become Krishna conscious. It's very important. If you don't, then you have to take birth again. And we don't know what's going to happen in the next birth. You can be born, you know, by your pious activity in this life, you can probably be born in a Brahmana family or aristocratic family. But how your life is led when you're born, nobody can guarantee that. Krishna cannot guarantee anything. Because you are subjecting yourself to Maya's energy. She is going to control you. You have a choice. Either you get under the energy of Maya, or you get into the energy of Yoga Maya. The internal potency of Krishna. It is up to us. We have a choice. Krishna has given us a choice. Whether we want, how we use that independence. How we use the human. Just like sometimes we have children, man. We are grown up between 13, 14, 15 years old, and then you can't be controlling the child. You can't be beating the child and say, oh, you're 15 years old, you're a rascal. No. You give the child the opportunity to be independent. Then you have brought up the child nicely, then the child will be able to know what is right, what is wrong, how I should be able to please my parents and please the society. That is important. And it is all come back to us. What we do, how we do it. So, foolish persons, you know, they don't accept Krishna. So we are not foolish, huh? They should be intelligent. So, someone can understand Krishna only by devotional service. That is the only thing. Krishna says, Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavam yasi sasmin tattatata tato mam sattvato nyatva visatethat anastaram. One can understand me as I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And one is who is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. See, Krishna is saying, you must concentrate fully in devotional service. Otherwise, you cannot go back to God. And Prabhupada also says, How do you approach Krishna? You must approach the spiritual master. That is the only way. Why? Because we do not know about Krishna. We think we know, or rather we have read about Krishna. But we still do not know who is Krishna. We cannot understand Krishna. In order to know who is Krishna, or understand who is Krishna, we must approach a person who already knows Krishna. Yeah? So Krishna knows himself first. Right? He has given the knowledge to Arjuna. And in the parampara system, it's coming down. So the Guru, in the linkage from Krishna, he knows Krishna. Right? That is, then we must approach that Guru. Right? If you don't approach the Guru, how are you going to know? A lot of speculative people, you know, those who read Bhagavad Gita or by themselves, they say, I know. Because they are read. But they do not understand who is Krishna. They cannot understand. Impossible. The only person who can teach you is the Guru. So the Guru has seen the truth. He knows who is Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible. Just like if you want to become a doctor, you cannot take up the book on medical book, you know, you cannot take a book on anatomy or biochemistry or physiology or medicine or surgery, but you can buy, definitely you can buy in the bookshop. You can read, but you cannot become a doctor. Not possible. You must go to the school, and there must be a teacher who is already a doctor, and he can impart that knowledge to you. Only then you can become a doctor. You cannot become a doctor. Impossible. You cannot, the same you cannot be a lawyer or a accountant or whatever. You cannot. Not possible. The only way is you must approach a right person in the right parampara. Right? Otherwise, not possible. The right person, you go to the university. So, for religious knowledge, about knowing about Krishna, who must you approach? A guru who already knows Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible. Krishna says, Tat vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevayana upadekshayanti te jnanam jnanina tatva dakshina. Just try to approach a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render devotional service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. How do you serve the Guru? Submissively. Render service. You must inquire submissively. You cannot just say, you know Krishna. He said, show me Krishna now. Okay, no, you can't do that. The Guru must be pleased. The Guru must be pleased with your service. And this person is truthful. Because why? Only the Guru can mold you. Earlier on we read Prabhupada nectar, we also were saying that you have to have a Guru nice. Yeah? You have to serve the Guru. Prabhupada said you just become submissive to the Guru. Why? The Guru is able to mold you. Why? Krishna consciousness means you become doing seva to Krishna. Now if you cannot do seva nicely in this material world, do you think you can go back to the spiritual world and do the seva? No, not possible. You can't even do the seva now. How can you enter the spiritual world and do the seva? Even if Krishna allows you to go into the spiritual world, you will stay one day, you will do, next day say, Krishna, you can't do the seva. I don't want to serve. I'm lazy. I've got other better things to do. I can look around nice, all the river nice, Yamuna is there. I just want to go and observe for this. Huh? But it's not possible. So Krishna wants you to come back. That's a fact. Krishna wants you to come back. He doesn't want you to stay in this material world. He wants to make sure that you are ready to be back. Same example. You cannot go into the university unless you are qualified. There are thousands of people who enter the who want to apply to get into the medical school, but only a few hundred can go in. Only some people they qualify, they take it to conduct some interviews and all that, whether you are suitable for this thing. Right? So then you can enter. Similarly, Krishna wants to make sure that when you come back to the spiritual world, you are still able to serve him without duplicity, without enviousness. So because we need to remove this enviousness from our hearts. We are envious of everything. We are envious of Krishna. Because we are jealous. Oh, how come he is the supreme personality of Godhead? How come he is the top? Why I cannot be the top? Then this is our mentality. This mentality has to be washed out. The brain is polluted. So the Guru takes out the brain and washes it for you. Not only the Guru, whoever he empowers, all his servants or all the other people who are around, who are learners, they also can help you to wash out your brain. You know, this is called brainwashing. Washing the brain of all the anarthas, all the nonsense that we have accumulated in all our previous lives. Somehow or other we are fortunate to come into Krishna consciousness and we must allow ourselves to be molded. Because we don't allow, because our ego says, oh, I am so good one. I can cook so nicely. Why this Madhuri come and tell me my cooking is no good? Oh, I play a nice mridanga. Why this Prabhu come and tell me this beat is not so good? This karatal is playing not so good. This singing is not that good. Why? But we must learn. We must accept criticism. And see how we can improve ourselves. By criticism only we can improve. Without criticism, we will be floating in cloud nine thinking we are so clever. So, or somebody poke the burden, we will come down. We will fall down in it. So we are floating. We are thinking we are so intelligent, but we are not intelligent.
If you were intelligent, you wouldn't be in this position in the first place. You wouldn't have left the spiritual world if you were intelligent. But we are not intelligent. We thought we were intelligent. That's why we told Krishna, I want to enjoy myself. So Krishna said, okay, you can enjoy yourself. Come back, come into this material world. And that's what we need. So now we are suffering. So we need to go back to God. Right? So we have to try to go back to God. Otherwise, it's very difficult. So, there's one story about this very difficult to see Krishna. It's in the Krishna book also. Once there was this Brahmana, during Krishna's time, 5000 years ago, there's a Brahmana, and the Brahmana had a child. But the moment the child was born, he died. So every time the child died, the Brahmana went to the king. He says, what kind of king are you? Because those days, if you had a pious king, you don't have a child dying. You don't have such thing as death when a child is born. So this Brahmana is the king is envious of the Brahmana. They are not Kshatriya, they are not able to protect us. So every day he will go to Dwarka, he will complain to the king. So Krishna was there. So he complained, every day he will complain. Every year he will go. The child is, thinks about 10 or 11 children died. Then once Arjuna was there in Dwarka. Then this Brahmana lost the child, he came and complained. Then Arjuna said, why are you complaining? Don't worry, we are all Kshatriyas, we are able to protect you. Then the Brahmana said, there you go. Balaram is here, he cannot protect me. Krishna is here, he cannot protect me. Pradyumna is here, he cannot protect me. Aniruddha is here, so many devotees are here, so powerful, they cannot protect me. Who are you? How can you protect me? He said, no. I have fought with Lord Shiva, I've got the Pasupati weapon, I've got so many things, I've got so many weapons, I can protect you. He convinced the Brahmana that he will protect him. The Brahmana said, okay. Then he went back. Then his wife conceived. The time came for the child to be born. The Brahmana called her, Arjuna, please come and protect me. You have to protect me now. Arjuna said, okay, he took up his weapons and Pasupati and arrow, everything he took up. He went to the Brahmana house, he shot all the arrows, very nicely he protected the house of the Brahmana. And he prayed to Lord Shiva to help him. Because sometimes when we feel that we want something, we go to the animal. Arjuna also did the same thing. He also prayed to Lord Shiva instead of Krishna. So he thought Krishna is my friend. Now he can't protect. I better pray to Lord Shiva. So he prayed, then he went. So the child was born. Immediately, the child was disappeared. Gone. So the Brahmana came and scolded Arjuna. What kind of Kshatriya are you? Useless. He better you die. And Arjuna said, oh yeah, I can't protect you, I tried it. But Arjuna said, no, wait, let me go and look for your son, your child, So he went to Brahmaloka, he couldn't find him. He went to the Patala Loka, he couldn't find him. He went to different places, he couldn't find the child. Finally he built a fire and he said, I'm going to enter the fire because I cannot keep my word. Krishna at that time came and said, no, you shouldn't enter, you shouldn't commit suicide. You should not. I will help you find the child. Then Arjuna and Krishna got into the chariot, the horse, and Krishna went north, straight, went through all the different planets, beyond Brahmaloka, everything, and he went to the outer covering of the universe. And at that time it was dark, the outer covering is dark. So he used his Sudarshan Chakra. So that Chakra light up the way, and he went through there, and he came to the Brahman effulgence. Yeah, Krishna said, "Oh, this is my indulgence." Then after that, he entered into the ocean, Karana ocean. It's the Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, where he comes in into the creates the universe. Then he came into that ocean, and then he saw a peak palace. The peak palace is the palace of Mahavishnu, Karana Dakshayi Vishnu. And Mahavishnu was lying on the Sheshana. It was very huge and very frightening. Arjuna, you know, and Krishna paid obeisances to them, to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said, "Yes, I stole all the children. Every year I take all the children and I went back and took them. The reason why I did this was because I wanted to see Lord Krishna. Because Krishna stood Bhagavatam. From him only I came. And I got no opportunity to see Krishna in this form. So therefore I told the children I can see Krishna." Then he reports Krishna to them. So even for Lord Mahavishnu it's difficult to see. How much more is difficult for us? But it is easy also. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it very, very easy. He came, Krishna came as his devotee, as a devotee, to show that actually all these people, even Vishnu cannot see Krishna, but you can see Krishna. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So easy. The process is so easy. Demigods cannot see. Even the Guru avatar cannot see. Nobody can see. You know, different Mahavishnu is Sakshat, looks like the most closest to this Krishna, and even he cannot see. He has to steal the children in order to make Krishna to come to him to and see the two-handed form. So we are very fortunate. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you can see Krishna. But of course, you must avoid offenses, not to the holy name. And of course, you must also avoid Vaishnava apara. Important, most important. Even if you think you have not committed any offense, please go and offer your obeisance and say, "Please forgive me from all the devotees." So that way only you can become humble. Once you become humble, humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. Because a tree, sometimes people scratch, cut the wood, cut the branches, take the leaves, you know, and the grass people trample on it. But early on we read that Krishna has given the grass also some power. You step on the grass doesn't cry, you know. And when you walk away, the grass stands up again. And if someone step on us, you will cry, you will get broken. Oh God, you will cry. We don't have that shakti. Krishna did not give us that. But he has given the grass. So we must look at the grass, look at the tree and see how tolerant that tree is. How tolerant that grass is. Become more humble than that. Try to become humble. It is very easy if you follow the Guru and the Vaishnava. You follow the instruction. Tell your mind, "I won't listen to you. I will only listen to Guru and Krishna. And I will become humble. Then you can see Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible." The two-handed form of Krishna is the most beautiful form. Some people take it for granted, like Arjuna. You know, because they are so close. But still, it is the most beautiful form. Once you come to that, then you will realize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited all the symptoms, ecstatic symptoms of knowing Krishna. He wanted to show us that it is possible. And we must accept it. Otherwise, it is difficult. So, we shall stop here and ask if there are any questions, or any comments, any corrections. Nagina Maharaj was saying that he went to Basam. And he was saying that There's a difference between Singapore Yatra and Batam Yatra. In Batam, the devotees, when they chant and kirtan, everybody joins. They all sing and chant and all that. And when you ask for questions, everybody will ask questions. Philosophical questions. But in Singapore, exact opposite. Nobody, some people join the kirtan, some people, you know, will not join. Nobody asks questions. Then, like he said, you need to think that everybody knows philosophy and I'm going back to God again. Yeah? Or you don't know anything and you're so, you know, don't know anything, you cannot ask any questions. I don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. It's only two. It cannot be in between. So, this is the observation of the Maharashtra. So, we have to find out. So, we have to ask. If you don't ask questions, you cannot learn about Krishna. That's why the last sentence Prabhupada says, to understand the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Chamasundara, is not possible, it's not easy. The only way you can understand is by hearing and chanting and asking questions. If you don't know what, how you know Krishna? I've asked you this question. Who is Krishna? I've seen Krishna, but can you realize Krishna? Is Krishna realizable for you? Is Krishna revealed to you? No. I know of Krishna. I know about Krishna. I don't know who is Krishna. I don't know. But I haven't come to that platform of realizing Krishna. So we have to ask, associate with devotees, chant nicely. We do all this and we can do. Otherwise, you know, because the reason why you are not asking questions is because you are not reading. Most of us are not reading. Because you read questions, if you read, there will be questions. Because we are not able, because we don't have that that intelligence to understand the scriptures very clearly, intelligently. If we are, then we won't be here. That's why every time you read every chapter, every sloka, there's always something will come out. Some doubt will be there. The reason we are not seeing Krishna is because we don't have faith and we are doubtful. Somewhere in our hearts there's a doubt that Prabhu wants to ask a question, but he himself can answer that. He's
Hare Krishna, Hare Guru.
This is a very much last question.
Qualify that, no? Then I can answer that.
In the time about Swayamvara, nobody could make that thing. So Tripath Maharaj, I think it's just Swayamvara, I'm sorry. But nobody could
break
do the bread. So Janak Maharaj, he says, in this sabha is free, no sabhi. So you put the Janak, nobody can see that, nobody. So that's it. I'm sorry. Yes, question. This is a very common question people ask in this verse has been presented, that Krishna was already there in Dhruvam form. The whole world saw that, Duryodhana saw that. So how is it that it's very, very difficult to say. So I'm sure that you would like to satisfy this. So this is a very common question to ask.
Krishna is there, they are right to answer, but we don't have devotion. We don't have the devotion, you cannot see Krishna in his actual form. You see him as an ordinary person. That's the same like Sisupa. He also saw Krishna, But he didn't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He saw him as an ordinary person who wanted to, be the topmost in the Radheshwarya ceremony, So, Krishna can come in front of us. God can come in front of us, and yet you will not accept him. Because we have not learned, like Krishna says, our eyes, we have not developed the faith and love. We have not done that yet. Our hearts are still full of anarthas. As long as this is there, it's not possible to see the Supreme Personality Godhead as he is. Not possible. That's why earlier on I said, Krishna's deity form may be there, but we don't see Krishna. It's not possible to see Krishna. Why? Because we haven't developed that faith and we haven't removed the enviousness from our heart. Once you remove the enviousness from your heart and duplicity and develop the faith and love and those qualities, then you can see Krishna as he is. A lot of people in the Kurukshetra were, there are so many people on one side, the other side, right? Pandavas and Kauravas, but they did not see Krishna as he is, as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. They just saw him as a politician, as a king. But that's all. But if you have that love through hearing from the Shastras and from Bhagavad, people who have assimilated the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam, the walking Bhagavatam, we call them, and the Bhagavatam and the Guru. If you do these three things and submissively render service, then only you can see Krishna as he is. Otherwise, it's not possible. Krishna can come now in front and say, I am Krishna, I am God. He will say, get out, get lost. You are not God. So people, for a lot of people, the realization of God is like, universal form, or there's no form, there's something that is out of this world, unreachable, then only is God. But if you have a personal relationship, then you will not accept it. So I'm not sure whether I've answered well, but probably if you can elaborate on that. Any other comments or suddenly
you want to take this?
My challenge will be.
Thank you for being for the class. I had another question. Sometimes you mention to, like we say that, when Krishna comes in front of us, how do you reject him?
Yes.
Because we don't have the devotion. But I try to turn things around, I try to turn it the other way. When I say I'm eager to see Krishna, and if Krishna comes before me, how do I know that he is Krishna? Because sometimes there could be a person who's very beautiful and he smiles, and looking, being with him makes me comfortable. Is he Krishna? How do we know if we see Krishna? We are eager to see Krishna. A person is eager to see Krishna. How do we know if Krishna comes before us that he is Krishna? And if your answer is that you should anoint your eyes with the salve of love, then how do we avoid being taken for a ride by other people if we actually start practicing that? That's one question. I hope you understand. Krishna.
For us, we are not going to cover eyes in south of love because we haven't even developed that. The only way to see Krishna if he comes in front of you is you must take the words of the Shastras. Guru, Shastra and devotees. Otherwise he comes. You have to take three of them. If all three agree that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you accept. You cannot say that, oh, I personally feel good with this person, therefore he's... No. The Shastras tell you, who is Krishna? What are his qualities? How is he ornamented? What are the signs on his hands and his body and his feet? You have to see. They show me all the different signs on the hands and the feet. Then you must ask them. And Arjuna also, they show me your universal form. Right? And also Guru will say, okay, this is Krishna. And also the sadhus will say, this is Krishna. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, nobody accepted, right? Some people accept, some people didn't accept. Those who accepted, they knew. First of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed them the form, his Krishna form. He showed 400 forms, he showed 600 forms, he showed 200 forms. So many forms he showed. Yeah? Then all the other sadhus also accepted him, based on scriptures also. The scriptures also sing of appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also, the scripture says, in the Bhagavatam, it says, Krishna is born of the mother, the father, he tells you where he is born, which city he is born, which who is the father, who is the mother, what activities he will do. The scriptures we have to take very, very close association of. We have to take, that's why it's very important that we read. We don't be sentimental about anything. No? Prabhupada also says this, we cannot be sentimental, we cannot be very sentimental and say, oh, I see this person, oh, he's so nice, he can preach, I say, oh, I love him more, therefore I... No! Be sober. Look at the scriptures, read the scriptures. There's nobody here that says anything about this person. This person is not... In the scripture, like Buddha's avatar is mentioned in the scripture, who is the mother, who is the father, where he is born in the Gaya, what is his activities, then we know. And all the acharyas will say, yes, this is the avatar. Guru also will say. And you also must be intelligent. You cannot be just blind and say, oh yeah, this person is beautiful, therefore, no, cannot. Therefore, when Krishna appears, we will know. Because we are ready, we are intelligent, we have read, we have taken association. That's why I say, keep on repeating association of Guru, association of sadhus, and read the scriptures. Don't just accept the scriptures because somebody said so. Not because I say the scriptures say, you go home and read. You also must read. If you don't read, how you can say? I can say so many things, you know. Is it right or wrong? You read the scripture, then you will know. Otherwise, it's not possible. I can say I'm God. Oh, I speak so nicely. Oh, then I'm God. Oh, I said, please, please, all of you. Okay. No, that's wrong. We have to be intelligent. Right? You have to. You're not intelligent, you forget it. You're a fool. Millions of people are like that. Foolish. I went to Hong Kong once, there's a shop, you know, they sell the watch, very beautiful, Rolex and all that. There's another shop outside, Pushkart, selling Rolex also. Tell me where there were more people. The Pushkart, there were more people buying Rolex, fake Rolex. The big shop, nobody went in, only one or two people in there. Why? People like to go for the fake one, the cheaper, easier. Whereas the real one is more expensive, difficult to afford. Our taking Krishna, how we afford Krishna, requires us to do devotional service and surrender. This process of surrendering is the most difficult part, Prabhu said, Madhu. Very difficult. How can you surrender yourself to a person completely? That is the question. Can we do that? Most of us say, yes, I surrender, but you know, Guru tells you something, says, no mind. Nowadays I see a lot of Gurus are going around, they are trying to please their disciples, because their disciples get angry. And when the disciples get angry, they don't get supported. Foolish. But it should not be like that. A lot of Gurus are there, they are cheap. You want to go cheap, you go. You want expensive, you have to pay for it. Very expensive.
You have to pay for it. You have to pay with your life. Full surrender. Then only you can get Krishna. Otherwise not possible. Understand? I hope I have answered your question. Any other thing somebody is to do this here?
Thank you for the class. Only my question was that in India there is a common understanding that dasha of the forms of Lord Vishnu. So Krishna is also one of them.
Yes.
And by our understanding that Krishna is avatari and all of the forms are actually expansions of Krishna. But considering that, considering that the, all the dashas are form of Lord Vishnu, we say sometimes that Lord Krishna appeared as Krishna himself, stressed that he is Krishna himself, not that the expansion of God. So my question was that how to reconcile both things, both maybe true or their some other understanding that I
see, the in different time of Lord Brahma, like I said earlier, the different manus, the different manus, and the manus are different manvantara, they are divided in different times. At different times, Mahavishnu or Vishnu, he comes as Krishna. He also comes as a personality to distribute the holy name of the Lord in Kali Yuga. So Vishnu himself takes a lot of forms, a lot of avatars, yeah? different yugas and different millenniums, you know. But in this particular time, as I mentioned, in this particular time of Lord Brahma, Krishna himself comes. There's no doubt. It's all the scriptures have verified this. I'm not unable to give some. Maybe you can give the quotation.
That's a very good question.
Yes.
In Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami says that it is the except for Garbhadaksha Vishnu, all other expansions actually originate from Shiva Daksha Vishnu.
Yes.
Okay. That's what Sukadeva Goswami says in Bhagavatam. So all this, so both views, what Prabhuji mentioned, both views are right, and let's see how we can reconcile. And this is what the answer I heard from Acharyas, no? The answer is this one. So all the expansion does come with Shiva Daksha Vishnu. So what says that Dasa Avatar is coming from Vishnu, Shiva Daksha Vishnu is a big person of Vishnu. So, but Lord, all these three Purusha expansions, Karadaksha Vishnu, Karvadaksha Vishnu, Shivadaksha Vishnu, originate from Krishna. So that is also right. Krishna is avatar. Everything emanates from Krishna. So how can we consider this? So the answer is this. Because Krishna has laid down the rule, how is going to appear. All the expansions that will come from Shivadaksha Vishnu. So he is the one who laid down the rules. So to satisfy that, he, when he comes himself, he also follows that route coming from Shivadaksha Vishnu in that sense. This is the one answer I have heard. But one must understand that statement that Krishna is the fountainhead of all because even Shivadaksha Vishnu himself, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Karnadaksha Vishnu, what the Mahavishnu story that you just mentioned, which is given in the Krishna book, that itself proves that they all originate from Krishna. But since he laid down the path, so he comes that way itself, and Krishna himself fully comes, as you mentioned, only in one day or Brahma, and that is in a particular time at the end of Dwapara Yuga, beginning of Kali Yuga. That's once in 4.3 to 5 years. So that's what I heard. It reconciles both ways.
Thank you, Prabhu. That is good. You will reconcile both. But like I said, this avatarini, in this particular avatar he came, he has brought all the different Vishnus also with him. Also, so when he performs his pastimes also, you will notice that in Vrindavan is Vrindavan Krishna. You understand? But Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan. Does not leave Vrindavan. So when we talk about Dwaraka and Mathura, this is the Vasudeva Krishna. It's a different, but it's the same. Can you imagine? It's like, they're all the same. Only the exhibiting the leelas, exhibiting the different mellows, the rasas, is different. Yes, Vrindavan Krishna is full. Correct, yeah. He showed everything. Yeah, that's right. When Krishna, you know, Akrura also came to take Krishna out, he bathed in the pond, in the lake, you know. So when he saw that Krishna is the source, and when he left, and Krishna also at that point stayed back, but not visible anymore. And the Krishna that left Vrindavan was Vasudeva Krishna. And usually, that is the Krishna, Shirodhara Shaya Vishnu, who actually takes part in all the other leelas, killing of demons. Krishna himself does not do all that. In Vrindavan, he does not. His leela is to reciprocate the different mellows, the rasas of the different devotees. That is the highest. Even though he had all the other Vishnus and everything within him, he only exhibits this in Krishna, Vrindavan. You understand? This Vrindavan that is appearing in this material world is manifested pastime formation. There are so many unmanifested pastimes that we are not even seeing. And that is happening in the spiritual world. You understand? So it is a little bit, that's why we need to chant nicely, you know. Again, I come back to the basic, because it is not possible for us to understand a lot of things by reading only. We have to understand it by chanting nicely, taking association, being submissive. This knowledge, this realization of Krishna, of who he is revealed in our hearts. Sometimes it's difficult for a devotee who is already on the platform to reveal this to other devotees also, or his disciples and or the others. It is realized from within. And even when he realizes this, he doesn't expose this to because he's become very embarrassed. He's become very shy. That is a very advanced devotee. It's not possible. So we must understand that he is the avatarini. Yeah, at certain times, only in, like Prabhuji mentioned, once in a day of Brahma. He himself comes to exhibit what is not known to other avatars. Only he can exhibit this, nobody else. Krishna himself from Vrindavan, when he comes down, he exhibits, he shows all these things. Other times when there's, you know, Krishna, he doesn't show all this, he doesn't give this love for the gopis and the love for the parental love, the sakya love, all this he doesn't exhibit. Only this time only he will exhibit, and he has exhibited. You understand? It's not possible. He only himself can reveal this. others like Shirodaksha, when they cannot exist, they are not able to do it. That's why Mahavishnu himself wants to see this. Who is this? Who is this creator of myself? He wants to know this beautiful form. From there, it's the original candle, like, you know. I'm trying to give you some examples. It's the original. All, you know, you can light up another candle. It's also candle, you're lighting the same light, everything. But the original candle is always different. How am I able to impart this knowledge? I a little bit difficult. We have to come, breathe, chant nicely, take association. Never give up, and Krishna will give you this. Reva, thanks. I wish. So we shall stop here and just a few minutes for a while, and then some announcements, and then we go to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Grandpa, Bhagavad Gita.